I attempted to teach the family class, and we were discussing what makes a strong local congregation. We were describing the characteristics that you might look for in order to find a strong local work. This thing's going to act up on me. This morning, I want to talk about something very similar. Something that also has an effect on a strong local congregation, being as it is made up of these. I want to talk about how you would find a strong Christian, or the measure that you would use to find a strong Christian. Now, Samuel, as we read in our scripture reading, was looking for a king. If you remember what he said there in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 6, and when he saw Eliab, you know, I believe he was the oldest son of Jesse there, not Jesse. I lost my king's father there. He was the oldest brother of David. I know that. And he saw him and he was astonished. You know, he said, "Surely, you know, this man is the chosen of God, the anointed of God." I reckon I'm going to have to turn over there so I can remember what I'm talking about. My brain is not functioning this morning. He was a man that was a big man. He was a tall man. It says in verse 7, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him." You know, this evidently was a man of man, you know, that a man would be appealing, you know, it would be appealing to him to, you know, pick him. You know, he's a big fella, he's a strong fella, he'd be a great king, you know. But God tells Samuel something very important here. He says, "For the Lord does not see as a man sees." And that's what I want to focus on this morning. That idea that God told Samuel, you know, "I don't look at people the same way you do." And we got to remember that. We've got to keep that in our minds and in our hearts as we, I guess you could say, evaluate ourselves, trying to decide whether or not we are where we should be. You know, it's not about necessarily how it looks, you know, what we might do in public, you know, the things we might do when everybody's looking. You know, that's not what makes us a strong Christian. What makes us a strong Christian is when we're in our closets and when we're, you know, one-on-one with somebody. There's just, you know, it's a private setting. There's just a few people that know of these things. That's what makes a Christian a strong Christian. And I think most especially it's the things you do with God. It's the things that only God sees and only God knows that really and truly make up the backbone of a Christian. So in this lesson, we want to find out what measure we should use to evaluate a Christian. You know, first let's start with, you know, the measure that we see used most often. The measure used by brethren most often is, you know, maybe how they attend services. You know, if they attend all of the services, if they are there every time the doors are open, if they go to every Bible class, every Bible study, every gospel meeting in the area, you know, that's a strong Christian. You know, that's a person to be looked up to. You know, he is loving God and keeping Him forefront in his life. What about their, you know, participation in the church related activities? Maybe we're having a day where we go and we help, you know, the needy church members. Maybe we go out and we cut the elderly people's grass, or, you know, we go out and say a storm has come through. Conveniently enough, we've just had one. We go out and we pick up all the trash out of the people's yards. You know, is that what makes a strong Christian? That's what a lot of Christians today look at. You know, they go to visitation programs, or they participate in outreach programs, or they, you know, they go door knocking. Or maybe it's their leadership abilities that people look at. Maybe they're strong Christians if they have a powerful ability to lead singing. You know, they get up and they can just stir the hearts and minds of the members because of their singing style and their choice of songs, and they always have a wonderful song service ready. Or maybe it's their prayers. They have long, eloquent, flowing prayers is something that points us toward God and makes us think of, you know, things we should think of. You know, is that what makes a strong Christian? You know, those things are what people look at. And truly, if you're honestly doing those things, yes, you are a strong Christian. You are doing what you should be doing. But that's not the only thing we have to look at. That's just the front. That's the facade. That's what we show everybody else. We have to talk to these people. We have to get into their lives as much as possible. We don't need to pry. I mean, I think that's something that Christians have a tendency to do as well. You know, the problem with this measure that we use, it tends to measure the outside of a man. It tends to measure, you know, what we can see just by, you know, observing that person. You know, people can do all of these things. People can have beautiful prayers. People can preach beautiful sermons. People can lead wonderful songs and still be spiritually destitute on the inside. They can still be lacking inside. Hypocrites thrive more often than not with this kind of measure. They live very comfortably with people just looking at what they put out for everybody to see. You know, Christians can't live that way. Christians can't base what they think of a person simply by what they see every day. If emphasis is placed on one function over another, you know, for example, if we've got a man here that, let's just say, preaches a sermon extremely well, he's easy to listen to. He preaches, you know, eloquent lessons. He brings things that we need to hear. If we put emphasis on that, and we lift him up and say, well, look at this great Christian we have here, then it deters the rest of the function of the church. It makes them feel less when the Bible clearly states that the church is the body. The members function together. The Christians should not think above of any man, above what, you know, more highly than we ought to think. It says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Romans 12 and verse 3, it says, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." You know, and it goes on down the list telling what these parts are good for, how we're supposed to function, we're supposed to work together. So this observing a Christian who is good at this or good at that or puts on a good sermon or leads a good prayer doesn't make them a good Christian. It means that might be their gift, but maybe they struggle in other areas. We have to use the measure that God lays out for us in order to determine who is a strong Christian and who is not. So let's look at some of the qualifications, some of the things we need to look for in a Christian to determine whether or not they are strong or not, whether we are strong or not, even for our own introspection. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 and verse 22. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are of Christ who are Christ and have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now these things are the works of the Spirit. These things are the works of the spiritual person. There are qualities that will be found in a Christian. You know, one who is truly spiritual will certainly be involved in the various activities of the church. You know, turn with me to Galatians, or just look on down, more than likely, in Galatians the 6th chapter, in verse 1 beginning, it says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." It says, "For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load." This verse here, it speaks of working together and watching out for each other. But when it comes down to it, we have to examine ourselves to find out whether we're really operating as we should. More often than not, somebody else is not going to be able to tell how we are completely spiritually sound. We have to examine ourselves and examine our own work. And then we can have rejoicing in ourselves if we are strong or not. This measure explains and requires that the inner man must be changed first in order to become a truly strong Christian. Turn with me to Colossians the 3rd chapter. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. It says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ also forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." You know, this section here describes the character of the new man. But the passages before this, in the first verses of Colossians chapter 3, explains that if we are truly going to be children of God, we have to put off certain things. We have to change that man to this new man. That old man must disappear. You know, there are passages that are given specifically to preachers, but I think that all Christians need to take note of these things. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 11, it says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." You know, Paul is addressing Timothy, a preacher, a teacher here. But he says, "But you, O man of God," I think it applies to any Christian that can be called that, a man of God. You know, we have to be ready and be blameless. It says in verse 14, Well, all right, and I'll pick back up in verse 13. It says, I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, with which He will manifest in His own time, He who is blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. You know, we have to live up to this great Lord's standard. This person who is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. We have to reach His goal that He has set for us. And that is what we are trying to explain this evening, this morning. You know, we have to put on all these things we're reading. We have to examine ourselves to make sure that we are contending the way we should for the faith. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6 again and look in verse 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. We have to be careful though. You know, we may fight the good fight. We may lay hold to that, or not lay hold of, but confess that good confession. You can still do that in the wrong manner if you haven't applied all these other things that are listed. You know, what about a Christian who is a bishop or an elder? They have a list of things that I think apply to everybody also, but they have a list of things that they have to be qualified in order to hold this position. You know, so many Christians today, they see a charismatic man and, you know, he's a good teacher, a good preacher, and they say, oh, let's put him in the eldership. They forget about these qualifications that he has to have. Now, is he a married man? Is he respected? He's not a novice? That may be so. Is he able to teach? Yes, that may be so. But is he quick to anger? Does he not manage his house well? Turn with me to Titus, the first chapter. Let's read those right quick. It says, beginning in verse 5. It says, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having children not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless, a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. You know, I've met many elders in different places that do not meet those qualifications. And yet that church has held them up as an elder because they have forgotten what measure they're supposed to be using. You know, what about the young people? Turn with me again to Titus in chapter 2. Beginning in verse 1. It says, but as for you, speak things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and in patience. Well, I'm missing my verse. Oh, there it is. I keep going. The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husband and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. You know, it has to do with the passage I just read. It has to do with young people and old people. You know, the older ones are to be of good character and not, that says the, like the older women there, that they be reverent in behavior. The older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith. But that they might be able to teach these younger people. And that the younger people, we have to remember, even though we're young, even though maybe people don't see us as being able to behave ourselves as we ought sometimes, we still have that standard to live up to. Showing ourselves, in verse 7, to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility. You know, even when we're young, God holds us to a standard. Even though the men of the world may say, or the people of the world may say, women and men alike, all young people, they're going to be young people. They may dismiss us. They may say, that's just their nature. They can't help it. We can help it. We can be what we ought to be. We can show ourselves to be children of God in such a way that no one can hold us to blame. Now let's think about some of the challenges of this measure that God has laid out for us. This measure emphasizes the changing of the inside of a person. First and foremost, trusting that naturally the outside of the person, the more publicly known things about you will soon follow. It requires much struggle, much confrontation, much fighting with yourself, because the natural man does not want to be this way. A Christian is not naturally going to be a wonderful person. Just because, we get baptized and we believe in God and Jesus doesn't naturally and automatically make us into the Christian we need to be. We have to grow. We have to change. And this transformation takes more time than just, a year or two. Some Christians hold people to a stricter standard than God does. Sometime brethren may not wish that, or may not think that it should take that long. Sometimes we may be harder on each other than we should. But we have to remember, trying to teach somebody, before they're ready, trying to hold somebody to a higher standard like that sometimes can indicate a problem of our own, of ourselves. Turn with me to James, the third chapter. James chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. It says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. And if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." A lot of times when I think of this verse like this, "My brethren, let not many of us become teachers, knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment," I think James is trying to point out here, everybody has faults. And if you're hammering on somebody else's faults, and you're trying to call yourself a teacher, then you better make sure that you have all of your stuff taken care of and you're not just trying to bash somebody else to make yourself feel better. Because that happens a lot. This measure that we're trying to hold to, often the progress is only seen by God. We can see each other for a short time every week, and it's easy to put on a show. It's easy to seem more healthy spiritually than we are. But the Lord sees us for what we are. All the time. Every day. Not just when our brothers are with us. Some people say, God's only watching when we're all gathered here together. He says, "We're two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be also." That's when God's watching us. No. God sees it all. God sees every day. Brethren who may seem passive when we are together, may be extremely active when we are apart. Brethren that seem extremely active when we're together may be slacking when we're apart. It says, we're not to look at the outward appearance of a man, as God has told Samuel. The purpose of the Bible that we have is to be our guide, is to be our pattern. If we catch ourselves sometimes looking at, you know, how they appear to be, how a Christian appears to be, how we appear to be even, you know, I've known myself, you know, well, you know, it'll be all right as long as I, you know, do this or that or that or the other, and maybe I'll, you know, let something else slide. I've had those thoughts in my head before. Yeah, it'd be all right as long as nobody sees it. You know, I'll be okay. I'll be able to handle that for now. You have to constantly, you can't let things slip. You can't let things slide. Because the measure that we're to be held to, not only are we to use it on other people, we are to use it on ourselves every day. Because it is the Word of God. That is our measure. And it is a two-edged sword, as it says in Hebrews chapter 4, I believe it is. And it cuts both ways. And not only do we use it as a weapon, but we also use it as a tool to better ourselves. And if we're not skilled with that word, then it will most definitely cut us down, as well as our enemies that we're trying to face. And that's the idea that I'm trying to portray this evening. We need to be aware, not only aware of what strong Christians we may have around us, but we have to also be aware that we're constantly being measured ourselves. And we need to measure ourselves to make sure that we're coming up to the standard that we should be. I thank you for your patience. I know I was a little bit stumble tongued this morning, but maybe I got the idea across. If there's anyone here who would like to repent of a sin, who would like to take advantage of God's mercy, thankfully He is a lot more merciful than most of our brethren. I know I have a tendency to be rather hard and rather judgmental. God is not that way. You come to Him and He is rich and full of mercy, and He will forgive you of any sin that you have. Anything that needs to be fixed, He can fix it. Also, if there's anyone here who would like to become a new child of God, begin their journey to become a strong Christian, and if you would, as Brother Philip leads us in the final song, come to the front and we will do our best to assist.